got weird. Yeah. We already had the cold open, right? Earlier with that?
Everlast!
That was it.
Everlast.
Great. Okay, so how are we going to... What are we talking about? You know, you have
no
questions?
No, I have no questions.
We're talking about
podcast.
This kind of workshop.
Though. Workshopping.
It's a different kind of workshop, really.
Right.
So we'll talk a little bit about
that. Are we recording this?
No, we're just going to do a dry run.
Okay.
And then we'll...
We'll do it a bit later.
All right.
Absolutely. No, we're gonna, this is the show.
All right.
Start being good right now.
Okay, now.
Hello and welcome to episode 189 of the Two Hosers Photo Show. My name is Alan in Vancouver, Canada, and with me as always is...
Adam, also here.
Both in Vancouver, Canada, again.
Yeah, still my house.
Somebody's listening, somebody outside your house is watching, sounds like The Hunt for Red October. Okay, they turned it down. It was very loud.
I was listening for it.
Yeah.
I have it on DVD upstairs if you want to put it on and we can cross-reference it.
Have you watched it lately?
No.
Do it.
Yeah.
It is great.
It is a good movie.
It's a good one. I don't know why Alec Baldwin turned down the future, what's his name, roles? Jack Ryan.
He did?
Yeah, and then they went, all right, well, Harrison Ford will do it.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Little tidbit for the kids.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Amazon is what's going on.
Amazon. Yeah, I think they sell Hunt for Red October on Amazon. But do they do it on the Amazon Prime? The instant viewing.
I don't know. I haven't tried that whole thing. Do you use that?
I have it. I haven't. It's summertime, so I'm outside a lot.
Yeah.
Which means I haven't had an opportunity to check it out yet.
Okay.
I do have it, and I clicked on it, and I don't know if I have the German one and I can't access it here. Or I can only access it in Germany, and what does that mean? Will all the movies be in German? I don't know.
It's a cliffhanger.
Yeah, no one cares. No one's sitting on pins and or needles thinking, oh, man.
I can't wait to hear how this story ends.
This is going
to
play out radically. But I'll bet you could probably watch Hunt for Red October on that.
Great.
So if you do sign up for it, sign up through our site.
Yes.
And then we can afford the Blu-ray of Hunt for Red October.
Yeah, but we won't be able to find a Blu-ray player anymore because they stopped existing, didn't they?
Is that true?
I don't know.
I'm assuming they must still sell them.
Yeah, they probably do.
Wow, we are up on technology.
$8 for your Blu-ray player. Yeah.
I know. Remember When is kind of silly game to play, but Remember When they were a thing. It was like, all right, they're like... come down to like $700.
Yeah.
And do I buy the HD DVD or do I go with Blu-ray? Yeah. Oh, no.
Yeah, it's a toss-up. Yeah.
That didn't last too long.
No.
This whole internet thing kind of worked out.
Yeah, kind of beat them both down. Oh, but Amazon, buy stuff on there.
Yeah, through our site.
Yeah.
People have been doing it. I got a message just today on our site that I haven't responded to. I will respond later. Message saying, hey, I'm buying stuff through your site. I just found you guys. And I'm buying through your site.
Great.
So, much appreciated.
Glad to hear it.
What's going on?
Just got back from T-Dot.
T-Dot.
Yeah.
Hogtown.
Hogtown, yeah. I got to do a bunch of Toronto things with my kids. Got to go shoot the wedding that we alluded to last week.
I don't think we alluded. I think we just came out and said
it. Yeah. So, I did that, which was an awesome experience. And now that's... wedding number two this year in under my belt, and starting to like shooting weddings. I didn't think I would. This one was different in that it was family, and so there's a comfort level already with all the people involved.
Mm-hmm.
And the people I didn't know were fantastic people, so it was one of those things that I enjoyed being around the people so much. There was no pain in the butts to deal with, and a bride and groom that I knew very well and were fully trusting of, hey, whatever you think, we'll just do whatever you say. Tell us where to stand. Tell us how to pose. Do whatever it is you want to do. And, you know, they just told me, okay, we want this combination of people and that combination of people, but the mm-hmm. rest was up to me. So it's kind of nice to have that creative control. I could see, you know, that situation not always being the case, depending on the bride and the groom, of course.
I've had many good experiences in a row.
Yeah.
So I have to wonder, either you and I are tremendously lucky.
Yeah, or likable. Well, I am.
Yeah. Yeah. Or maybe we've peaked in terms of a bridezilla, you know, who expectations are just out of proportion. And B, in terms of attendees taking photos, I think we peaked in terms of, because a lot of times what would end up happening is people with digital cameras would just basically get in front of you.
Yeah.
Now I know that it does happen now and then, but I've seen a sharp decline in that behavior.
Yeah, and I concur. I said to Lisa, my wife, I said, "Wow, were you not impressed by how few people were actually shooting photos? Like, everyone just kind of let me do my thing. Nobody got in my way."
Uh-huh.
You know, I think we'll probably do a future episode entirely about this whole wedding situation.
We will.
But so I don't want to get in, you know, spoil the goods too much. But bottom line was, yeah, people were just out of my way. It was fantastic.
You know what we need to do? We need to find out from Amber, who does a lot more weddings than you and I put together.
Yeah.
We need to find out if this is basically the new behavior. Or if we just got lucky. I'd like to know her experiences. I think she probably does at least one a week. So she's going to see a lot more, have a lot more experience with this, if she's noticed the same trend or not.
Yeah, I think the demographics of the bride and groom, maybe that's not the best term, but the age of the bride and groom probably plays into it. I think in 5 years from now, it might be... I think with the kids that grew up with social media, like I'm thinking of all the teenagers now where everything is kind of a selfie and social media, that it might become a problem again in 5 years from now. But the people who are getting married, let's say at age 30 now,
mm-hmm.
they don't seem to be doing that to the same degree. Does that make sense?
That's possible.
And I mean, that was just my theory on this, is that they weren't all about, like, nobody seemed to be, oh, hey, I'm going to take a selfie of myself at this wedding and I'm going to post it on Facebook. I think that there's a sweet spot. I think if you're in that age range now of the 30 to 35, I think you kind of miss that.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe in 5 years or 10 years, That again will be all the high school selfies. And
now that we're talking about it, I seem to remember Amber talking about something called an unplugged wedding. Unplugged? Yeah, that sounds right.
Sure.
I'm going to ask her about it, because I think the idea is that the bride and groom basically request everybody leave their cameras at home.
Oh, I thought it's where Eric Clapton shows up.
Yeah. Well, Nirvana used to be. Pound for pound, much better album.
Yeah.
Nirvana Unplugged. One of my favorites. But anyways, I think that's a thing. So we're going to ask her about that. I'm going to have her come on the show. Let me rephrase that. We're going to ask her nicely to come on the show.
We're going
to
beg her.
Yeah. We're going to stand outside her house and start recording.
Yeah.
And hopefully she'll wander out and tell us what that means and if it's a trend hear all about that.
Okay.
I had an incident.
Uh-oh.
Does this fall under shoot anything interesting? Probably not. I think this is just...
Interesting tidbits from Alan.
Yeah.
Should we include that as a segment?
This is photo related. I had nothing stolen this week.
Great.
So good week. One in a row. No, we went back to Spanish Banks, as we do often, because, P.S., I love it there.
Yeah.
And so we're there and with a couple other families, and I brought my 40D... and 85 mil for a very specific reason. I didn't need a million beach shots during the day. They would just be repetitive at this point because
right.
we go so often. But I knew I hadn't been there with these families. I hadn't seen them all in a while. And I knew that, okay, I'm going to take some family shots of them sort of, you know, late in the evening before the sun goes down. So that's what I did. I got that all set up, and just at the right time, I said, hey, you guys, let's do family photos. We're going to head over here to these rocks over here. That my daughter was already playing on those rocks. I think you know the rocks I mean. Remember?
Yeah, okay. I do know the rocks you mean.
I'll put a Google
kind of right at the peak there, right?
Right.
Yeah.
I think it's kind of the for those of you keeping score at home, I think it's the border between Spanish Banks East and Spanish Banks West.
Sure.
So there's a little rocky outcropping. And it's a great shot because you get the sun setting behind you. You have the city in the background, and it is really beautiful. And you have the rocks to sit on, to do whatever you want. So just before I was getting ready to get the families to come in, my daughter loves to play on these rocks. She loves climbing on them. And so while she was doing that, I was snapping away some photos. But I wanted to get one really nice one of her sitting on the rocks with the city in the background. And while this was happening, there was this other kid, I'm going to say 7 years old, playing basically 6 inches from her, like in front of her, and wouldn't get out of the way. Saw me trying to take a picture, but did not care.
Right.
His mother was standing 6 feet away, witnessing this whole thing, did not get involved.
Awesome. Yeah.
So I'm pretty frustrated. Like, okay, I'm waiting, but they're just not getting the clue. So finally, there's this other professional, I'm assuming professional, judging by the equipment and the assistant, professional family photographer coming up and going to photograph in the same spot. And she says to me, I have no idea if she had any clue that, you know, I know what I'm doing, which is debatable anyways. But she says, oh, wow, that kid's really not cluing in. And neither is the mom. I said, no, it's kind of frustrating. So finally the kid moves. I take a couple photos. And she says to me, while my daughter is still sitting there, all kind of passive-aggressively too, which I didn't like, but I gave her the benefit of the doubt. She said, oh, I think I'm just going to sneak in there on that rock too. So I'm thinking, okay, well, she has a family. Like, it looks like a relatively young couple with their, I'm guessing, son. I don't really know.
Okay.
Probably 2 years old, which I should know if they're two, boy or girl. But what, I didn't really pay attention. And they're going to sit in there, and they've obviously paid for family photos.
Right.
So I said, yeah, jump in. Like, who am I?
Yeah, you know? I don't own these rocks.
No, go ahead. And the families that I'm shooting aren't ready yet.
Yeah.
So go ahead. So she jumps in and shoots. My family's come over, and now she's hogging the rock.
Oh, no.
And the rock. There's one great, great rock there.
Don't hog the rock.
But I'm saying, yeah, I'm saying to myself, okay, listen, these people got all dolled up.
Yeah.
And
They're paying.
Yeah. I'm just going to, you know what I'm going to do? I'm shooting with the 85. I'm going to move over to two rocks over. Fully acceptable rock. Not as good a rock as that one. That one's nicely rounded and
second place rock in the rocky rock competition.
Well, you'll see when I post the photo, which I'm sure I'll post, it's a jagged rock.
Oh, okay.
So you're no longer sitting on this rock.
You're leaning on the side of it.
Standing in the vicinity of the rock.
Right, right. So as to not impale yourself.
Well, you don't even want to make eye contact with this rock.
Okay.
Okay? So anyway, I'm a courteous dude. And so I look at the photographer, and she's shooting with available light, maybe some bounce, which she quickly discarded, actually, because she didn't need bounce. But she's got a prime lens. She's got, I think it was the 50mm 1.4 on a, I thought it was like a 50D or something. I just had a quick look.
Yeah.
So I'm taking a quick, assessment in my head of what her field of view is going to be, and I think, okay, that rock is good. But I asked her anyway. I said, hey, listen, real quick, am I out of your shot over if we're over here? Yep, go ahead.
Okay.
Okay, so she continues to hog the rock. I get my family's line up, three families I'm gonna shoot, rotate through.
Yeah.
Soon as I'm done, on rock, the second rock,
yeah,
she decides she's going to shoot into the sunset. So she spins her family around and then goes and stands directly behind my family.
No.
So now she's in my shot after I specifically, nicely...
You did everything you could to help her out.
I extended what I would think would be too much courtesy.
Right.
Even by Canadian standards.
Yeah.
And then she went and stood in there. So I had to basically just curb my furiosity.
Yeah.
Which I did. And we kind of worked around it. I ended up photoshopping her out of a couple of photos.
Oh.
Which was the easiest solution rather than get into it and lose the light.
Right.
So Spanish Banks photographer lady, a little more courtesy.
Yeah.
You could extend that little more courtesy on that one.
Yeah. I'm 100% on your side on this one.
That being said, presented with the same situation, would you behave the same way? Like if you were me, would you, next time out, would you then extend the courtesy to somebody, or would you say, no, I've been burned?
No, I would extend the courtesy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me too.
And you know what? That's just one of those things that you know, some people take advantage and they're jerks about it, or maybe they just like completely don't even understand.
I hear you. You're saying all women are jerks.
Yes. No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, like, you know, bottom line is I would have done the same thing of you, and the next time out I would do the same thing again, mm-hmm. because at the end of the day, you know, it's just not worth it. It's just not worth the aggravation. And I don't want to be perceived as that jerk. It's no. Like you say, I don't own that rock. If I'm there first and my family's already great, and if not, I'm going to let someone else use it and hope that when I am ready that they're going to extend the same courtesy back. But if they aren't, I'm not going to lose any sleep over it.
But I still had a few more shots to take of my daughter. But yeah. I pulled her off and said, you know what? I will come back another time.
Yeah.
This probably will not be my last time gazing upon yes. this rock.
Yes. And the scenario that I would look at is the fact that if it seems quite obvious that this for her is a paying gig, mm-hmm. I think it'd be different. If someone's paying me to do this, I wouldn't be as forgiving to just give up my spot mm-hmm. because they are now a paying customer for this shot, which we have a limited amount of time to get. But when I'm doing this as a pro bono work for my family or for someone else, and I clearly think that the other person is a paid job, well, then I will definitely extend the courtesy for someone who's being paid for this. Does that seem like...
But if you were being paid, you would not get in their shot.
True.
Yeah.
Yes.
On the flip side, I would expect the other person, the pro bono worker in this case, to extend me a little more courtesy, but I would also be very, very cognizant of what they're doing.
Okay.
And that kind of rubbed me the wrong way, that she just was completely cavalier about it and knew full well.
Yeah. That photo faux pas. That was a photo faux
pas.
Bit
of a faux pas.
Can I mention something else that I shot interesting? That's
no, it's a little bit more about me.
Okay, because you know, we just did 20 minutes on your rock situation. this is going to be the longest episode ever. I went to the Hockey Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm super jacked up about that. We should just do an episode about the Hockey Hall of Fame. Not photo related.
Yeah.
Just the Hockey Hall of Fame. No.
That'd be the Christmas episode.
The Hockey Hall of Fame in Toronto is amazing. The okay. greatest place on earth. But... super dark. Like, it's when I was a kid I went and it was a fraction of the size as it is now,
mm-hmm.
so it's enormous and interactive, and you'd like, there's a 3D movie that they filmed specifically for the Hockey Hall of Fame. TSN did it, outstanding. But very dark in the downstairs, very difficult for photos.
Okay.
And I shot everything. I took my full frame camera, the 6D, with the cheap wide angle lens, because I mm-hmm. just thought, yeah, there'll be some interesting stuff to shoot with a wide angle. So I didn't bring anything else. It was just the wide angle. And they had this, within the Hockey Hall of Fame, they had this big area where they did a mock-up of the Montreal Canadiens dressing room.
Mm-hmm.
So they had sort of, it was again the size of a dressing room, and they had half of it done up as the Montreal Canadian home jerseys, and then they had the other half of the room done up as the away jerseys, and it was a perfect spot to sit. They had the skates, the jerseys, old pads and everything, and you could just sit in there.
Did they have Maurice Richard's jersey?
Yeah, they did. They had Maurice Richard. They had, again, all the most famous Montreal Canadiens, and there's a lot of them.
Brian Skrudland.
No, they did not have Brian Skrudland, yeah. But they did Larry Robinson, yeah. Yeah. Okay. But anyway, so I thought that was probably the coolest situation to take photos, but extremely dark, and the weirdest lighting that, again, I had a gray card, so I shot with a gray card. Haven't tried to edit them, but I think even with the gray card, because I mixed flash with the weird uh-huh. lights they had in there, will be a gray card nightmare.
Want to know something that you did not know that is interesting?
What's that?
I just got an email today from Don Komarechka, who wants to do a show about the different quality of lights and exactly what you're speaking about.
Okay.
So there you go. We'll address that situation.
Fill us in on that. But the other thing is, they have an upstairs with huge high ceilings, almost like a cathedral, with stained glass on the roof and stuff. And that's where the Stanley Cup is, in that room.
Mm-hmm.
So my wife did snap a photo of me posing with the Stanley Cup in the Two Hoser shirt.
What?
I made specifically wore the Two Hoser show because I knew I was going to get the Stanley
wow.
Cup photo. So stay tuned for that.
Were you holding the Stanley Cup?
No, but you're allowed to touch it. I'm not sure in the photo I was touching it, but it did touch yeah. the Stanley Cup, which is kind of cool. It's not like, oh, you, do not touch, you can't get near it. And we were there at a time where there was no lineup. So, I mean, I took photos, my wife and my mom and my daughter in one, and my son and my daughter and my dad and one, and then just me alone with the cup. We got mm-hmm. different combos because we were there early. So
nice.
Yeah, so Stanley Cup, stay tuned for that.
Get there early.
Photo related. Interesting photo, me and the Stanley Cup. Yeah.
Good to know.
Yeah,
so there I did have another photo experience this week.
Okay.
Turns out there's a lot of I'm safe to call them Asians. I think they're Chinese.
Okay.
Tourists in town.
Yes.
And evidently, and I've heard of this happening to a friend of mine in China, a friend of ours in China. They think my daughter is some sort of a movie / rock star.
Okay.
Because of the blonde hair.
Okay.
We were out two nights ago, when the night of the supermoon, went down to Steveston, just her and I, got some ice cream and watched the sunset. But the place is just crazy with photographers shooting the supermoon, and then also a ton of tourists and a bunch of these Chinese tourists. And they all just came up to me and her and basically kind of gave me the nod of, can I take your picture? I was, okay. So they start snapping away. Two or three of them start snapping away, just pictures, not with us, just pictures of me and my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And then other tourists that they're with, and I guess it must be a big group, see this, come running over, and it turns into this paparazzi scene.
Sweet.
And I went, kind of like, no one spoke English, out loud anyways. And so everyone's kind of signaling over here. And so we just sat there for a couple of minutes just posing for pictures. And my daughter really didn't know what to make of it.
Yeah.
And it was really nothing to do with me.
She cooperated, not like for daddy.
No, she was right into it. She liked the attention. No, daddy has to be withholding in order to get attention. It's a whole psychological thing. No, and I was wearing the Tuhoser shirt as well.
Wow.
Not as cool as a Stanley Cup photo. But 2 days earlier, or a couple days earlier, we were at the water park in Steveston, and she's running around playing, and a different group of again, Chinese tourists were at the water park, just kind of walking around Steveston Park, and came to the water park and saw her, and took turns running up to her in the water. They were fully clothed, but they would run up to her in the water, because she was wearing her bathing suit, and pose for pictures with her.
Weird.
Didn't really ask permission.
Yeah.
I saw this going on, and I knew full well what was going on, and just didn't care.
Yeah.
But they would kind of run up and do the little peace sign next to her and the smile, and it was very, very friendly. They weren't... One person did try to touch her hair, which...
Yeah, starts to get a little weird.
Creeped me out. She didn't take that very well.
Yeah.
But yeah, so she's been the victim of the Chinese paparazzi.
Yeah, maybe she's going to be on TV soon.
I assume so.
Yeah.
But a friend of ours who has been to Beijing, who also has the blonde hair, he says he couldn't walk very far without people stopping and posing for photos with
just
him.
Just the novelty.
I suppose.
Interesting.
So there you go.
Great.
So next week we'll talk more about the wedding that you shot.
Yeah.
So I do want to hear more about specifics.
I'm going to tell a lot of specifics.
And we talked last week about how, what you took.
Yeah.
Equipment-wise, did you follow through on that?
I followed through 100% on that.
Blam. We'll hear all about that next week. This week's, though, photo challenge.
Yes.
So, because the topic this week, which we'll get into shortly.
Oh, there's a topic?
Well, yeah, we already recorded it, though.
Great.
It's this. We call this one a bookender.
Yes.
We recorded an episode at the workshop that Adam and I attended with Dwayne and Brad.
Yeah.
The Light Gangstas. Likes
gangstas.
And so we're going to talk a little bit, we'll hear more about that when the topic comes up. But this week's photo challenge, issued by you.
I can't remember exactly. Was it summer fun or summer?
Summer fun.
Sure. Summer fun.
So I'm going to go first.
Go for it.
Mostly because I'm going to tip my hand here and say, I love my photo. I think yours is slightly better considering the topic.
Okay.
But we'll start with mine. So here you go. Blam.
Yours is very stylish.
Mm-hmm.
I like it. I like your photo a lot. It's very symmetrical.
This is my daughter getting out of the pool.
Yeah, and it's just nice light. There's a nice gradient on the background. My only critique is the background is almost too cool that it distracts a little bit from the subject that is your daughter. If there
too
is
too cool, meaning what?
It's just. I mean, I'm mesmerized by the background.
Oh, like, too cool in that regard.
Yeah, no, not temperature wise. Just again, it's where all my attention goes. When I look at this photo, I glimpse of your daughter, and then I'm just like, I'm sucked into that crazy background, which is so simple, and the light is so good that it becomes the subject rather than the background. I think if it was out of focus more, it would probably draw more attention to your daughter, but it's so in focus that I am completely drawn into it.
Interesting. I will submit that. Okay, so this, there's a little Photoshop work going on here.
Okay.
So what ended up happening, in terms of Photoshop, all Photoshop is only with the colors.
Okay.
I didn't Photoshop anything else. I mean, first of all, this is what I would consider to be the perfect storm of good things happening.
Okay.
This day, the day we went to the pool, it was actually, in the morning, was a very, very cloudy day. And then, basically, in the afternoon, the sun came out. Now, what that means for us is nobody went to the pool.
Right.
This pool is normally teeming with people, with kids, which means that those cubby holes in the background would be filled with things. That is not Photoshop. Those are all empty because there's nobody there.
Right.
Also, the pool is empty of floaty devices. Because normally there's pool noodles and balls and stuff everywhere here, let alone people. And that wasn't the case. So this is a little. This is towards the late afternoon, probably around 4:30, when the sun is just dipping behind some buildings. So what ends up happening is the shadow gets cast across these cubby holes, which have a very 1970s feel to them because they were the original cubby holes that I went that were there when I swam at this pool when I was her age. Sorry, I got a message came in.
Yeah, dead air.
Dead air for a second. And so, these are the very same cubby holes from 38 years ago or whenever the heck I swam there.
So, should they update their cubby holes? Is that what
no,
you're saying?
They shouldn't. Right. They shouldn't. And they're ugly.
Cubby hole remodel or something?
But for me, it was something very personal. So I kind of like that.
All right.
However,
you remember the cubby holes.
The fact that they were in shade, and now she's being hit with the light. Was like that was a perfect time of day.
Absolutely, I completely agree.
So this was shot with my 40D, 85mm prime lens.
Yeah,
and I basically, in order to get all this in, I sat at the other end of the pool.
Okay,
and in order to get this shot perfectly like that, again, would not have happened if anybody else was at the pool.
Yeah, no, I really like the shot. It's almost too good.
Now here's the thing, is the background. Had, because it was in the shade, had a very bluish tinge to it.
Okay.
Just because of the nature of the color, the white balance. I'm trying to balance for the golden light on her.
Right.
Which meant that it was blue. So I went in and I stripped the blue out of this photo.
Okay.
Because I wanted that background to not... I didn't like the cool blue background. I thought it distracted from her purple bathing suit and the blue water.
Okay.
When I pulled that, the bathing suit stayed fine. The water became monochrome.
A different color, yeah.
So what I ended up doing, I basically layered the two images. I exported it at once without the blue pulled, did another one with the blue pulled, and basically cut out the water and left it in so that it remained blue.
Okay.
So the background isn't monochrome. This isn't necessarily a what do you call that? Like when you do this, the one color.
Yeah.
The red jacket or whatever.
Yeah.
This isn't that.
Color splash.
All it is was I just slightly pulled the saturation on the blue. I didn't pull all the color out.
Okay.
But they are very gray. Like, that's the point. They are drab and very, very kind of mid-70s East Berlin looking cubby holes. And you're right. It is distracting. But this photo will go up on my wall at home.
Yeah, no, I think it should.
And those are the kind of photos that... When you look at pictures online, it's like that. Sorry, hang on, let me get closer. Like that. And you move on.
Yeah.
But when your photo's on your wall, I feel like you look at it longer. So even if you see her first, then your attention goes to the cubby holes, the symmetrical pattern.
Yeah.
I think if you sit there long enough, it will eventually go back to her.
I agree. So, it is a very nice photo. I like the photo a lot, so good job.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's have a look at yours, because I like yours as well. There it is. Now, I was here when you shot this. Yeah. In fact, that's my wife and daughter in the background.
Yeah, they're the legs underneath.
Yes.
Helping to turn the rope with my wife.
Good. Tell me what's going on here.
They're skipping. This was a big thing for, well, you witnessed it. And you encouraged it, trying to get them to run in and...
I would say I forced it.
Yeah, you definitely were the driving force behind it, getting them to run in so the skipping rope is turning and then getting them to time it, run in and start jumping.
Okay, hold on.
Sorry.
So this is single Dutch.
Sorry there, skipping expert.
This is single Dutch. No, just to set the tone, you're skipping over.
Yeah.
Over some stuff. You're both of your kids enjoy skipping rope.
Yes.
But they basically said, we have to stand in the middle...
And then
with
you,
the still rope, and right. then your wife starts spinning it, and right. then they can jump. And I said, no.
Right.
I think that you can run into it.
Right.
And your daughter and son basically looked at me as if I was speaking Latin. They're
yeah,
like, no way.
Yeah.
So I showed them that, look, I can do it, and I'm an old man. And so I did it on the second try. I think it took me one try.
Mm-hmm.
Your daughter did it once and failed miserably and yeah. got back on the horse and second try out, blam, nailed it. And this, you captured it. So she did it.
Yeah.
And then I think your son did it. And they thought that was it for the evening. Great, we achieved it. And I said, no. We're doing it together.
Yes.
The two of you have to run in at the same time and do it. And this was the first attempt at the dual run-in, mere seconds after their first solo run-in. And you nailed that expression on their face perfectly.
Yeah, I like that. Just I was able to get both faces in, so they just again caught the action, and just the expressions are really what makes the photo. Technically, again, the photos is okay. It's the expressions and the leap that I think makes it a cool photo. My wife put this, I think, on Facebook on maybe two weeks ago or something mm-hmm. like that, and she got a really good response to it, because it is one of those photos that just the face kind of says it all, like just their expressions, and you know they're related based on those on those expressions, like they're trying to, I don't know, eat somebody's head, or Jack is anyways.
Oh, so, yeah,
and you get the action of the hair and stuff, and I think, well, was this a flash photo? I think it is. I can't remember.
Yeah, I was holding you had the remote flash
yeah.
in an umbrella. I believe I was holding it. Whether it fired or not, that's debatable.
I'm not sure whether it did fire. We were having some triggering issues. I have sorted it out since.
Yeah.
But, so this may have had flash and may not. I'm not sure. We're in enough shade that I could have gotten exposure either way. So.
Oh, technically speaking, this could be a much better photo for a whole bunch of things, but yeah. you would have missed the moment. And this, I really do love the look on both your kids' face, because it's both, it's got excitement, it's got surprise that they managed to do it, and the fact that it's this shared excitement between the two of them.
Yeah.
And basically, this is a good reason, this is a great example of why you should force your kids to do
Yeah.
Ooh, that's Ward.
Yeah, you're going to have to bleep.
Wow, nice talk.
First, that's 189 episodes, the first swear.
Yeah.
Are you going to leave that in, sneak that in?
No.
We'll get booted from iTunes.
Yeah, we can't do that. That's right. Technically.
Well, you just made editing work for yourself.
I can't believe that right at the end of the show. Terrible.
So how are you going to lead into this next
segment? I have one more photo to show.
Oh, for the love of Pete.
Look at this. Look at what's this.
Wow, that is a very, very strange-looking woman with your daughter.
Yes. James Spader's older sister didn't age well. I don't know. This was the day of that I shot my photo, that my last challenge photo we just talked about. This is the very same day. And so my wife shot me a photo of me playing in the pool with my daughter. And I got home and saw this and went, wow, that is so bad. Within 20 minutes of seeing this photo, I shaved my head.
Wow.
That's why the buzz cut that you see right now.
Yeah.
I was like, and that's my real hair. That's not a toupee. Someone else, I posted this to some friends on Facebook, just offline. And basically the comment came back, hey, it's a weekend at Al's.
Yeah, that's funny. You know what's also funny, and I think partially why it looks so strange, is we never see you smile with your teeth.
And so your mouth is ajar and we can see teeth. And I don't think I've ever seen that. I think that's the first time I've ever seen you smile where teeth are exposed.
No, that looks like fake hair and fake teeth.
Yeah.
Real Ray-Bans, though. Those are the ones that weren't stolen.
Great.
I had two pairs. But those are my B Ray-Bans, obviously, because my good ones were stolen. But I wanted to post this just because I don't mind poking fun at myself. So there you go. That hair's gone, though.
Great.
That hair did not last. So this week's topic, Adam and I went and shot around at the workshop that Dwayne Gervin and Brad...
I don't know. What's Brad's last name?
I forget. He's going to intro himself in a minute.
Yeah, how about we just wait?
You know why I can't remember is because I saw him on Facebook and he's got like a fake last name on there.
I probably would remember if I heard it.
But I looked at his last name on Facebook and I was like, oh man, what an ironic name for a photographer. And then I was like, oh, he had made that up because he's a photographer.
Oh, Brad Softbox?
F-stop.
Yeah.
Brad F-stop. That's what I would do.
Yeah.
That should be my new nickname. Or William Shatner, based on that hair. Just kidding. No offense. Yeah, offense, William Shatner. We know it's a rug.
Yeah.
So here we are after the workshop. After we shot around for 4 hours, we sat down with Brad and Dwayne to talk about that workshop. So here you go. Okay, so we're here in New Westminster with the Light Gangsta team.
Yes. This is Dwayne Gervin.
And I'm Brad Jarvis.
So we came today, Adam and I were invited to come and attend a workshop today.
Yeah.
Pretty? Pretty and Gritty.
Yes.
That's all right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Awesome.
How long did it take you to come up with that name?
Brad came up with it.
Wow. He's the brains behind the operation.
And the good-looking one. Oh, stop.
So we just finished up a four-hour workshop. What? Tell us a little bit about what the workshop, was.
Okay, a workshop like what we do, we invite people to join us in a space typically. We do it in a studio location, and we try and keep it casual. What we want is for people to come to a Light Gangsta workshop and leave with images that are completely fresh and brand new for them on their camera. So they come to a workshop like ours, and they are exposed to new techniques with lighting. We've got all kinds of studio quality lighting. Industry standard stuff, and we kind of lead them through the steps. So we start with a quick little introduction session. Here are the lights, here's how they work, here are the models. We usually have enough models that we can make small groups of teams, and then we have stations set up with the lighting. So we'll run different kind of setups and get people familiar with different kind of ideas.
Excellent. We want people to be able to come in here and never use studio lighting or maybe have a basic understanding of what it does and show them what they can do with the light instead of just setting it on a 45-degree angle and having typical flat light. And we want to show them they can move the light and do things with the lights using different modifiers, using bouncing grids, softboxes, feathering light, so that they can go out afterwards and they can actually reproduce these techniques and use them when they're taking new portraits to create a creative look instead of just the flat light that they're sort of used to sitting on auto mode with TTL flash.
So what kind of range of skill level do you get?
We have everybody. We have people. We had someone today that just came in with a little mirrorless NEX camera. And he was shot on manual mode, and he'd never done that before. So he was introduced to controlling the camera instead of just letting the camera control him. We get people from that all the way up to seasoned pros who want to come in and check out the way that Brad and myself light things, see the way that we're thinking. And, once again, instead of just doing the same old thing, they come in and they get new ideas. And we want people to leave sort of rejuvenated and excited about light. Instead of leaving here thinking, okay, it was just another, another photo shoot in a studio, got the same images, got the same thing. We want them to be able to go home, get excited, and it might be a guy that's been shooting 20 years. We had one here that's been shooting 25 years, and he teaches classes, and he teaches people how to sort of get off auto, and he came in here and he, there were some things here that he's never done in 25 years. And it's not that we're doing things that are revolutionary. We're just showing him some different techniques that we use and it sort of gets him thinking different.
When I first got the invite and it said, you know, 4 hours, I thought, wow, we're never going to be able to cover enough stuff in that time. Like, that's too short a time. But what struck me is we got right into it right away. There was, what, five minutes of theory, 10 minutes at the most, and then we dove right in.
Yeah, definitely. We've done workshops in the past where I've gotten off track and I'm talking about inverse square laws and I'm just looking at people and their eyes are blank. And the way that my mind works is I want to be this technical guy that knows the theory, that knows everything. But so many people, they don't want to know that theory by learning it from somebody preaching it to them. They want to know the theory by watching what the light does. And that's the way to do it, I think, is to get them into it, get them shooting. And when they're working with a model, they get excited because they're taking some cool pictures. And now they're seeing what that light does. They're watching light fall off. They're realizing they can make a white background turn gray.
Yeah.
And it's just one of those things that I get excited that people are getting excited about it.
I'll tell you what I like about this sort of environment that you guys set up is you take, you know, five different models that we had and four different lighting setups, whatever it might be. And typically, you know, in an hour and a half, you might shoot one model in one setting, and then you end up with 300 pictures of the same thing. And instead, in this kind of situation, you end up with five different models and maybe six or seven different lighting looks, and you just got so much more variety and diversity to kind of look at what you like and learn from in such a short period of time. And also directing the models, like, you know, as a photographer taking family pictures all the time, it's a fun sort of thing to get in there and sort of, you know, have a little bit more control in sort of positioning and posing people. And I think for everybody here, even the people who are good photographers, there is a lot to be learned in the sort of posing people realm that I thought was really helpful for me. I think probably the biggest thing I learn is always how to direct somebody else in a way that makes sense and makes them feel comfortable. That's the whole goal of what we do. It's a collaborative experience. We bring in people, like Dwayne said, there's photographers that have a lot more experience than us. There's photographers who are even better than us.
Sell yourself short. Well, but two of them are standing right here.
Yeah. So.
I take the tie.
Yeah,
it's a 4-place tie.
You know, when you come in with a whole bunch of different perspectives and different ideas and experiences, you can share ideas and just kind of play, and that's what we do. We like to set up something that's relatively formal so that people can see how the lights work, and then let people loose on it. You know, change that position, change the angle, change the intensity, throw a color on it. Let's see what this does. Let's see how it looks. What kind of a mood can you generate? It's all about, you know, improving the craft and really helping make images that are emotive and communicate.
I like the collective feeling, like the idea of shooting with a bunch of other strangers, for one. For me, yeah. Everybody here was a stranger, but also watching how they shoot. Because most times you go on a shoot, it's just you.
Right.
Yeah, and that's one of the big things that I've found. I love to help people out, other photographers, because I see how they do things, how they're talking to the model, how they're doing things. And I might not like everything that they do, but I can take the good points away, and yeah. I can do that afterwards. And that's what this whole environment is awesome. A lot of the times you'll see people standing off to the side, and at first you look at them and you think, they're not getting it, they're not doing anything. And then you see them, and they're actually watching the photographer because they want to see how they're approaching a situation, how they're working with a model or a light. And you can learn a ton from watching, and that's why this environment, I think, works. A lot of people, when they come to these workshops, they have the impression that they're just going to be shooting for 4 hours. And when you really get down to it, I don't know how many shots everybody takes, probably 300 or 400. You know, and they have actually not shot for that long, and they're standing off in the corner talking to somebody else. You know, they're talking about different things of their camera that they aren't sure how it works, you know, but micro adjustments or different settings on the camera that can actually help them. And they come away with not only some great images, but a better understanding of the camera and the lighting situations.
And if we've done our jobs right, new friends.
New friends.
Yeah.
New friends to join the gang.
I think that's definitely part of it. Is
I just teared up a little bit there.
Job done, yeah.
Well, oftentimes when it comes time to learn, like, I think it's easy to learn something that you know you want to learn. Like, definitely. You can go learn algebra, there's books on it. But if you don't even know that something exists, like, you never even think of a lighting technique watching somebody else do that, whether it's on purpose or not, because a lot of it's accidental.
Definitely.
And then think, oh, you know what, I could use that more.
What's interesting in that learning process is it's often somebody over the shoulder of somebody who goes, that accident was awesome. Let's replicate that. Let's tweak that. Let's play with that. Because the person who shot that and it's a mistake to them, they don't necessarily see how cool that is. But you can kind of play with that. So it's neat watching people, you know, I use this expression, you know, watching the lights come on, it's a photography thing, whatever. but it's really fascinating watching how people engage with this and get excited afresh, like whatever,
definitely,
wherever they're coming from.
Definitely. And I've been to where, I mean, I never stop learning. I always say if you haven't made a mistake, that you probably didn't do it good enough. Because when you make that mistake, that's where you learn. You can do a thing 100 times. You take the picture 150 times, the same photo. But if you make a mistake and a light doesn't trigger, all of a sudden, that's something new to you. And it's the mistakes that I think you really learn from.
Mm-hmm. I watched Adam today convince one of the participants that, no, that looks good. Stop. Like, you know, those shadows.
And I think as photographers, especially in a group of other photographers at first, that was probably pretty early on, are intimidated by, hey, this guy knows more, is better, whatever, and then all of a sudden feels like, okay, I need that person's help. And I think after what happens in an environment like this, especially one that's conducive to other people encouraging one another to that, oh, hey, stay on track, you know, or I'll adjust this for you and you tell me what you want, is that goes away pretty quickly and the confidence is kind of grows as the session comes on. So I saw that in a few of the people that I was working with that, you know, they were asking for a lot of feedback early on, and then all of a sudden they were telling me that I was a horrible photographer. No, not at all, no. So quick learning curve, yeah.
Absolutely.
But that's what I like about it is again, I feel like going to these workshops, much like doing photo challenges, and I was sort of telling people about the podcast, that was my promo work while this was going on, is that it's all in reps and staying with it and doing it lots. Like you can't do it for a week and then come back 3 months later and think that you're going to remember the lesson you learned. You got to keep pouring in the time and the reps, and I think if you do that and come to workshops where again you get new ideas that now you can pour into your own sessions when you go back home, again, that's where the learning is done.
Now you've been this is your third.
This is at least my third. Yeah, yeah. I think my third, maybe my fourth.
So how was Adam today versus the first time?
He was unbelievable today.
I'm gonna be flattering, so look away. I don't want you to look at this.
I'm not looking at you.
He was fantastic today.
It's awkward.
Like, he jumped on it, and not only with moving the lights, with helping people, but directing the models as if you knew what you were doing.
Yeah, that was all a facade.
Yeah, that's all. Sometimes that's all it takes.
Yeah,
so.
Definitely. Yeah, no, I think the first workshop Adam came to, he helped me out, and he, you know, I think was a little intimidated by moving lights and moving things, and he didn't want to sort of change things. He wanted to leave it the way I set it up. And this time where he's just jumping in, helping people out, moving lights, getting, let's try this.
Eat your lunch.
Take my lunch.
Yeah.
And he was much more comfortable with actually, you know, getting people to change things and helping them instead of trying just to keep everything sort of the way it is.
So how many repeat participants do you get?
A lot, I think, based on what I've been here.
I think it's about 40% come back to a second one, and then it's about 50% of those people actually come back for a third and a fourth. So it goes up. It's the toughest part is to actually get people out to the first one, because if they are like me, I've been to workshops where it's very structured, and you sit on the floor or on an Apple box, and you listen to someone lecture for 2 or 3 hours, and then you watch them photograph for an hour and a half, and all of a sudden, it's time to break for lunch, and then you come back and you get 10 minutes with a model or a subject, and then let's sit down and we'll recap. And if somebody's been to a workshop like that, I think they're hesitant to go back because they got a lot of info flying at them.
And probably paid a lot of money.
But they didn't actually get a lot out of it. So that's why Brad and I have structured these like these. So people can come in, and it's tough to get them the first time. And we want to get people, you know, to see that we're, you know, not these big scary guys. We don't know much. We're, you know, pretty, you know, open to what people
We're goofballs.
We are, yeah. Don't look at the YouTube channel because and you'll see us.
But so you know the stuff. You know all the technical stuff. You do introduce it. I went to film school, and the first 3 months was just sitting technical, note-taking, complete waste of time. But you guys know the stuff, so you introduce a little bit, get moving, and then answer questions. If anyone has a question about f-stop or whatever, no problem. They can learn that.
Yeah,
definitely.
Well, that's, you know, we're about that kind of fun environment, relaxed. If somebody wants the intense theory, there are avenues for that, and there's great avenues for that. I don't want to knock those at all. But what we try and do is, yeah, give people the practical experience because that's how you remember best, right? And when you're getting familiar with the equipment and you're watching how your changes change the light and change the image, that's how it just sinks in.
If they want more theory, I have the inverse square law tattooed on my back. So.
I can see it from 4 feet, but not 8 feet. Yeah.
No, it's
that right over my head. Yeah. No, not really. No.
He's not that tall.
Right. So I think one of the main issues people face in digital photography now is everything is so abstract. Like, what is an f-stop? What is, you know, these things you don't see? Whereas on the old film cameras, you can actually physically see the iris going. So for our aim is always to sort of break that down. And from the beginning of the show was explain that to Adam in physical terms. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of my biggest takeaways here was seeing you guys show, here's what happens. Here's what happens when you point the light over here.
Mm-hmm. Definitely, and that's the thing, and that just goes back to allowing people to move a light instead of just having a light set up. Let's move the light and let's see what happens. Let's turn the power up, and you'll see what happens when we have too much power. Let's turn it down, and so they can see and they can leave with a record of, oh yeah, that's when I cranked the power. I got all my highlights are blowing, and now here it is when I've reduced the power. Now I got some cool shadows. And it allows them to sort of fine-tune when they're shooting afterwards on their own instead of just, shooting and hoping that they get something.
And I think you get, again, out of one of these workshops, for anyone on the fence of whether to attend, you should do it, especially if you're in the Lower Mainland area. But the key is you get lots of reps and model time in 4 hours. Like, I think by the end, everyone's like, all right, I think I got hit my quota because now I got to edit 400 photos. But you got all different models, all different looks, and you've got as much as you possibly want. Like, running this another 2 hours wouldn't have, like, most people would be just chatting by the end. So I think you've got it paced just right to get it all get it all in. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think the one of the last ones we did a 5 hour, and by the end of the 5 hour, everybody was just done. And 4 hours, I think, is where you want to be for. Half a day, everybody's hungry, everybody's thirsty, there's hot lights going on, and some of them even just want to go home and try what they've learned on their own instead
And I mean, for this experience, how often do you get to shoot with a model, a professional model, who knows what they're doing, which is wildly helpful when you tell them move here, move your face out of the light, or they do it for you, they know where to look.
Yeah,
that's key. But then to have five of them, you don't get that kind of opportunity.
Yeah, and what we tend to do is we bring in a few pro models, and then we'll actually bring in a couple amateur models. And I find that it helps people because all of a sudden they've shot with a pro model who is doing it for them, and now they get to shoot with an amateur model who is not quite as sure. And so now they are in control and saying, move here, try this, this is what we'll try.
Yeah.
And by the end of it, they're much more comfortable in directing people. And even if they're just doing family portraits, all of a sudden they've found this newfound confidence into, look, I know how to do this. I know how to move into the sun or get the light right.
We've had some phenomenal models,
Big shout out to them. Definitely, yeah. We've had some great ones.
And the upside for them on this, right, is they're coming away with a whole bunch of photos, right?
A ton of portfolio pictures, yeah. And then not only if they go out to shoot with a photographer, they might get six photos back. They're going to get six photos back times 12.
Yeah.
So they don't even if the light setup is very similar with two different photographers, the editing, the post-production might be different, and they might like one way better than the other.
Right.
Absolutely. They can all look at my film photos that I shot.
They were phenomenal.
Yeah. I brought the film camera out and it jammed twice. So it went back in the bag.
The end.
Yeah. Hashtag epic fail.
Yeah. A little disappointed by that, but on the plus side, I don't have to go home and develop anything.
Right.
So it works out great.
So whereabouts can people find your workshops? I think we kind of gently mentioned it at the outset, but was it clear... You each have your own websites as well. Do you want to plug those?
Brad and I have our own websites for personal projects. You can find me at dgphoto.ca, and you can find Brad at
kissoflight.ca
because we're Canadian.
Yeah.
You can find us at lightgangsta.com, and come over. There's a blog there. There's some pictures. There'll be some pictures posted of the workshop. There's past workshops and info on future workshops.
And how often do these run?
These run once a month, and they vary in areas. We go all the way from Vancouver all the way out to Langley. We've had one in Aldergrove even. So we try to cover the whole Lower Mainland.
Great. So if you're listening to this...
And a German branch coming soon.
We're portable.
Sure. Well, yeah, we'll do them in Deutschland. Great. And if you're listening to this, I urge you to check it out and definitely come on out. You're not going to experience anything like this, and I highly recommend it.
Or maybe look for a similar thing if you're in another country. I'm sure somebody else, if not, franchise this.
Make the trip.
Alan flew in from Germany for this.
That's right.
What we need is to get people flying in.
Vancouver. Yeah. Vancouver's beautiful.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. And if you're flying by air, just use discount code LightGangsta.
Yeah.
Whichever airline, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
It's all the same.
We're affiliated.
Great. Thanks a lot, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for coming, guys.
Yeah.
And we're back. So there you go.
Great interview.
We did awesome, right?
Yeah. I really enjoyed that.
I had like 19 more questions, but you looked over at me and thought, you know, all right, it's time to get out of here.
Wrap it up.
Yeah. Shut this one down. We have all we need to know. What I meant to ask them.
That's our first two like four-person interview, though.
That it, yes.
You know, like there are four people and I think it went very well.
It went well. A little bit loud in the studio, but it's designed for photos, not for video.
Yeah.
And which would then accompany with audio as well.
Let me seriously pat us on the back for a job well done.
Yes. Yep. And if I dislocate my shoulder doing that, I know a physio guy.
Great.
Can sort me out.
Yeah.
No, one question I went to ask, and maybe you can answer, where did the name Light Gangsta come from?
I don't know.
We should have asked that.
Yeah.
That would have been a good opportunity to ask the two guys who run the Light Gangsta workshops.
Okay. So, all right. We'll keep that one chambered for next time.
No. If you're listening to this and want to know, tweet them.
Sure.
Because all their info is there, and I'm sure they're on the Twitter.
Or Facebook them.
Yeah, probably Facebook them.
Yeah.
That's what I would do. And so do that. So photo challenge for next week.
Yes.
What did we decide on?
Enthusiasm.
Curb your enthusiasm.
Sure.
Not to curb your
part. Don't curb it.
Enthusiasm.
Yeah, show it.
I like enthusiasm.
I love enthusiasm.
I think it was a little bit inspired by your last week's photo. Can
Absolutely.
You top it?
Absolutely. I doubt it. I hope so.
Oh, great. All right. Where can people find your stuff?
Facebook, Two Hosers. I think I posted a little bit. It's been at least a week or so. I was out of town for a little while, so I'm going to try to get back on the train. I do have a bunch of photos from my trip that were unrelated to the wedding. I'll try to get some of those up. Stanley Cup photo or two.
Oh, yeah.
And then soon enough, once I finish and get all the photos to the bride and groom, I will ask their permission to post a few, which I'm pretty sure they'll be okay with.
This is the couple who you did the engagement
session.
Yeah,
and I posted a bunch there. So I know photos of the two of them, they'll absolutely be okay with.
Now, what theme from the wedding will the Hungarians steal this time?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
Yeah. Stay tuned. Next week's episode is going to be about the wedding. And yeah. P.S., it's going to be awesome.
Yeah. So, hey, Joe Hungry, listen up now. because you can learn all you need to know right from
that's
next
right
show.
That's right. I'm still, you know what, I told that story at the wedding, and I and because people like had seen the engagement photos, right? And so now you got me fired up, so this episode's gonna go another 30 minutes. But no, like I told that story for anyone who doesn't know, listen back to every episode we've recorded, somewhere it's in there, but I did the engagement photos.
Listen back to every episode.
Yeah, just somewhere it's in there, but I did the engagement photo, and a few people at the table like brought it up. They're like, oh, you did the engagement photos, you know, that comic, that was really cool, where did you come up with that?
Because I was in Budapest last year.
Yeah, and I said, well, no, I ripped it off of some guy in Hungary, which wasn't the truth at all, but was my own inside joke that nobody laughed at. And then I had to go through and they kind of were like, huh? And then I had to explain how a guy in Hungary just, you know, happened to coincidentally come up with the exact same idea I did 2 weeks after I had posted it on Facebook, and took full credit for it in the in the HuffPo.
So we're looking to figure out what we can expect this time.
Yeah, I don't think I invented the wheel with wedding photography. I don't think there's anything that I did that somebody hasn't done before, but I potentially am going to try to come up with something.
Absolutely.
I have this idea, and let's see if anybody rips this off. Both my my cousin, who was getting married, and his wife were extraordinarily expressive. So I got a ton of smiles in this.
Ooh, smiles.
So I was thinking like something like along the lines of 50 smiles, and I was just going to essentially crop like a square out of a bunch of the best smiles from the day, because I shot photos before, during, after, and then put it in sort of a grid, like, you know, like basically.
May I suggest 49 smiles then?
Sure. 49 makes more sense.
Yeah.
But
64 is good.
Yeah.
Yeah, but 36, not bad.
Sure. But I was basically thinking of doing sort of this whole smiles of all different smiles from each of them, like basically half and half. Of course, I can't do the math on that, so we'll have to split one in the middle of both of them. But, you know, and again, I've never seen this. It just came to me as an idea.
Because 18 and 18 will work out just fine.
But I'm hoping nobody's done it, and then some guy in Hungary can rip it off. So I said it here today. You, date this. Do you think someone's done that? I've never seen it.
No, I'm guaranteeing you this. You've invented this. 4 weeks from now, in every single Hungarian dentist office, you're going to see this photo.
Yes. All right. I hope it's the one I took, at least. So, yeah.
You know what they call dentist office in Hungary?
What?
Hungarian dentist office.
Okay.
True story.
Okay. Well, where can people find your stuff?
You can find my stuff at alnatridge.com or the two of us at twohosers.com, where you can find all the links to everything we just talked about.
Great.
That's it. Oh, and Amazon, of course. And that is it. Until next week, get out there and make better photos.